The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now, that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus, because he did this on a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters, and once again, welcome back to our little rectory chapel, and a little thought for you here for this morning, okay? So I mentioned yesterday, if you heard me yesterday, that the Gospel of John is something we're going to hear for the rest of Lent, and that the Gospel of John was written to believers to lead them from shallow faith to deep faith. Okay, so one thing that I want to share with you here today is one of the tricks that John does to do that. You're going to hear it all through the Gospel of John, and it's deliberate use of Old Testament symbolism. Okay, so today we hear the story of the sick man who's lying next to the pool of Bethesda. So now the pool of Bethesda, that deserves a little bit of explanation. There was a pious belief among the first century Jewish people that an angel of God waited by the pool of Bethesda and stirred up the waters of the pool, and that the first person who would get into the pool would be cured of whatever it was that ailed them. Was it true? Did it really happen? I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay, but anyway, we hear the story today of this man. He had been lying next to the pool for 38 years. Now, that's an important number, 38. 38 is an important Old Testament number because 38 was the number of years that the Israelite people wandered in the desert before they entered into the Promised Land. And you say, hey, wait a minute. I could have sworn I remember from my Sunday school that the Israelite people wandered for 40 years in the desert, not 38. Before they entered into the Promised Land. And that's true. It's just that they spent the first 2 years at the base of Mount Sinai, where they had a chance to enter into the Promised Land right there and then. But they didn't take it. They wouldn't trust God. They were given a test of faith. They didn't believe that God would care for them and provide for them. And as a consequence, their punishment was they were going to wander for 38 more years, such that 40 years would pass, and like that entire generation who didn't have any faith, none of them would enter into the Promised Land. Okay, so this man's been sitting by the pool for 38 years. Jesus walks up to him, and he says, "Do you want to be well?" Now listen to the man's answer, because it tells all. Kind of a squirrely answer. And he says, well, you know, nobody's been able to get me into the pool when the water is stirred up. Somebody's always gotten there before me. And you stop and think about that for a second, okay? He'd been sitting by that pool since 1982. And not once did he say, I got next. It's kind of far-fetched. You know what the truth of the matter is? The truth of the matter is that he's got the same fault that the people in Israel had. The Israelites had this lack of willingness to trust in the Lord. They wouldn't put forth their effort. They wouldn't do their part. Somewhere he stopped trying. Jesus says, do you want to be well? Why does he just say, yeah, I want to be well? Answer, because someplace in his heart, he's just given up. Now the message that we want to take out of this is that somewhere in our lives, there's a pool, so to speak, a place in which we become complacent with our faults. Year in, year out, and the words that Jesus says to the man here, the words he says to all of us as well. Tell me, do you want to be well? We want to give Jesus a simple yes. Yes, Lord, I want to be well. Set me free from the faults that I have. And let me cooperate with you. First of all, set me free from the fault of thinking that it's okay for me to persist year in and year out with the same sins and never make any progress. Set me free from the faults that I'm not putting forth any effort for. Give me that effort. Give me that grace. Set me free from the faults that I'm ashamed to admit, right? Even in confession, which, by the way, is the real place where you're set free. Set me free, Lord, from those faults that I'm not even aware of yet. And most importantly, set me free from the idea that somehow I can do this all by myself, because we know where that road leads. It's a great big road to no place. Year in, year out, same faults, time to make a change, okay? And so here in Lent, these last few weeks of Lent, last few days of Lent, perfect time. Perfect time to make a change. You know, one thing I've discovered is that people are afraid of God. They are. They're afraid. They're afraid of, if God gets too close, he's going to mess up my life, right? They're afraid of what might happen if God draws too close. Think about this. The only threat that God makes to all of us, and I mean all of us, he threatens only what's false in us. He's our maker. He knows us. He fashioned each one of us. He only threatens what's false, and he asks our permission to heal that. Okay, so you and I now, as we continue praying, let's give our Lord our cooperation, that he will heal you, strengthen you, and set you free. Amen.